Those in Altoona said hello to an old friend earlier this week as young Connor Griffin stepped foot at the PNG Field for a rehab assignment as part of his return back to Pittsburgh, which ultimately was one and done and ended up in Pittsburgh on Friday. But it's fascinating to look at the way that Connor Griffin has grown since his time in Altoona. You know, the last time he was here, he was 19 years old. He's freshly married, well on his way to the uber prospect that he currently is and was, I guess you should say. But it's funny to look back on that and think about what feels like forever ago. Now he's got a $140 million extension and is well on his way to being an MLB superstar here before we know it. He comes back up to Pittsburgh and immediately makes his impact known. Leadoff home run, gets on base twice, it's hits by pitch. You know, when he was in Altoona, the crowd was electric. He's a player that makes everybody around him better. And it's so hard to find players like that, especially professionally, but he just doesn't. The team elevated to his level, and they played an absolutely phenomenal baseball game Wednesday night with Connor Griffin in the lineup. Obviously, you know, he is worth the price of admission. He is a player that is made up between the ears probably better than anybody else I've been around outside of Paul Skeens. And to see that maturity and that intellect and everything about him, that makeup at that young of an age, I think is so fascinating. You know, I've worked with young kids and college kids and adults for most of my life, and I've not seen anybody that level of mature and wise beyond his years than I've seen in Connor Griffin. That's a testament to his parents, his family, his upbringing. But he is just a phenomenal human being and a phenomenal baseball player. And the fans showed out, and he talked with us after the game, and he was very gracious with his time. You know, obviously it was short-lived, as much as we all would love to see Connor Griffin here in Altoona for a long time. You know, his better days are in Pittsburgh, and it's fun to see that development and see how he's grown and how he's handled things. You know, it can't be easy to be Connor Griffin. You know, I would love to have that many zeros in my bank account, but obviously that's not in the cards yet. I haven't yet to hit the lottery or become an uber prospect on the field. But, you know, just to see him handle everything with ease and grace is fascinating to see. And I think that makes everything what we do that much better. And he makes everybody around him better. Makes his teammates better. And you see that immediate impact that he has in a lineup. And guys that, you know, these are guys that are, I can't even say his age because he was still the youngest guy on the field. And these guys are 2 years older than he is. So they are around his age. These are guys that he entered the draft with. So there's friendships there, and to be able to bond with those guys, you know, he's the youngest man in the room everywhere that he goes, and to see him handle that, and you wouldn't even imagine, you wouldn't think, you know, just an everyday conversation that you're talking to a 20-year-old human being, just his mental makeup, his physical makeup, and just the way that he is and the way he handles himself. So I think that's, you know, tremendous for him, but he makes guys around him better, and guys, you know, are always want to go the extra mile for players like that, obviously. You know, all eyes were on Altoona whenever Connor Griffin is there. All eyes are on Connor Griffin everywhere he goes, whether it's Altoona, Indy, Bradenton, Greensboro. This is a guy that's 2 years out of high school, should be going into his sophomore season, or finished his sophomore season of college. But, you know, it again, it's a guy that everybody, the room changes when he walks into it for good reasons. And it's going to be fascinating to see how his career develops. You hope that he doesn't get bit by the injury bug and continues hit that upward trend and becomes the MLB superstar that I think that he can be. But again, you know, it's very rare to, you know, see a guy that brings everybody up and rises everybody up, and they rise to the occasion. You know, Curve had a big win on Wednesday night. And I think that just is a testament to what Connor Griffin brings to the table. And listen, it's the same deal as guys, you know, that want to be better. They want to get their names out there, and when Connor Griffin's in the lineup with you, it's much easier to get your name out there and say, hey, this is a guy that can play too. You're listening to Future Bucko Talk. This is Jared Prugar, and we thank you as always for listening. And you know, Connor Griffin rules the world. He rules the Pirates world, and the Skeens and Connor Griffin comparisons, obviously Skeens is a position player. Skeens is the face of the franchise currently, but that future face is Connor Griffin, and Connor Griffin is that guy. And he will be that guy for years to come. Obviously, there's a lot to be determined with Skeens. Friday night's outing wasn't his best by any means, but he didn't get much help both from umpires or, you know, those around him. But again, it's a good opportunity. Now you see Connor Griffin impacting the day-to-day lineup much more than Skeens can. And it's tough to find that face of a franchise in a pitcher like Paul Skeens. But again, this is a guy that's wise beyond his years, too. This is a guy that was willing to fly fighter jets, for goodness sakes. And, being able to talk to him, Saturday at PNC Park, I think is a fascinating experience. And it's always good to kind of dive deep into the mind of an elite player like that, and somebody that's willing to fight for our country too, but also as a high level athlete. And I look forward to putting that feature together about him playing at Air Force against Derek Berg with Army, and just playing for a service academy and being a part of things like that. But what I'm more excited for is our interview here with Bubba Chandler that we'll get to here in the second segment of Future Bucko Talk, where we talk about Clemson football and his football upbringing and how that's helped his baseball trajectory and performance. We talk all the time about prospects and how they develop, and we see now in the game how many people just specialize in sports early, and you see these injuries and these there are 12-year-olds that are dealing with Tommy John surgery, and I don't think that ever should happen. You can cross sport train, if you will, football into baseball into basketball and wrestling and things like that. Hockey too is up there, but it's fascinating to kind of talk about those sorts of things as far as prospects are concerned. Before we get to that, Seth Hernandez, we reached 100 strikeouts for the first. He's the first minor league baseball player to do that this season. Things are going well for him again. And Greensboro, obviously, things are going well for Murph Gray still with the Grasshoppers. Tremar Johnson has continued to play phenomenally well with Indy as of late. The one minus, I will say, in the system right now is Christian Curtis took a ball off his forearm earlier this week, and it's to be determined what's going to happen to him as far as things go from here, as far as hitting the IL or things of that nature. So it'll be interesting to see how he recovers from that. He was having a phenomenal AAA stands at Connor Wiegrift just got promoted to AAA from Altoona. And it's been an interesting week for the Curve and for baseball players throughout all of professional baseball and throughout the world. Obviously, with the tragic earthquakes in Venezuela, that's the Curve are not are a team that has been impacted by that. Obviously, Omar Alfonso has stepped away from the team to deal with some family matters in Venezuela as part of that. It puts things in perspective as far as how things can be seen and how and that, that life is a truly precious thing. And my thoughts and prayers, all of our thoughts and prayers go out to Venezuela and those affected by the tragic earthquakes there, the twin earthquakes that hit earlier this week, and that put things in a much bigger perspective of how precious life is and why every day and every moment matters, because you just don't know what's going to happen and when's it's going to be your last. So, without further ado, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to bring you back on Future Bucko Talk to talk to Bubba Chandler ahead of his game against Cincinnati and talk football and some former recruiting teammates of his from the University of Clemson and the Tigers down there with Dabo Swinney. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions about Clemson football. I know obviously you're here with the Pirates, but a couple of guys in Altoona and Will Taylor and Lonnie White Jr. are guys that you spent some time with in and around the Clemson program. And what's it like to have that shared experience?
Yeah, Will actually did it. Did both, so he's got a lot more experience than I do in that, but yeah, I think both those guys are great athletes. Both are really good football players. Glad they chose baseball. Same with me. But football is good times, and we have a lot of good athletes in here. Braxton was a big time football player. Connor was, he used to play as a freshman, but he's pretty good, and he's good athletes. So he probably would have done well, but yeah.
How important was that experience in football? And I think you were a quarterback, correct?
Yeah.
Helping you as both a pitcher and an athlete overall.
I think really just probably mentality. Like, the play starts with you and can ultimately end with you. And I think same thing as like a pitcher. You don't really have control of what the ball does when it leaves your hand, but you can put it on the right path. And I think just kind of like football is just commanding the huddle, commanding the offense, and it's kind of what you're doing out there with your catcher, and just kind of commanding the game. And if you're if you go out there and take care of your business, it's going to go well, you know, whether it's football or playing quarterback or throwing baseball. And I think just that mentality of, like, you know, kind of wanting the ball in your hands and, you know, kind of getting pissed off when the manager, you know, takes the ball out of your hands. I think that's every pitcher. But, yeah, I just, you know, I kind of wanted to end with me. If we're going to, you know, if we're going to win, I want to, you know, be the one out there doing it. If we're going to lose, you know, I want that weight on my shoulders. So,
as a pitcher, and I guess even as a quarterback, you have the ball in your hands every time. And obviously your goal is to make the play and make things happen. And how difficult is it to balance that every pitch, every play?
Yes, yeah, it's pretty difficult. I mean, you just, like I said, you can, you know, the game kind of starts and ends with you. You know, you can go out there and make five really good pitches and give up five homers and ruin an outing. And things think in the same way of quarterback. You can go out there and read defense to perfection, and next thing you know, you didn't see a freaking nose tackle dropping back. And you throw an interception to him, even though you did everything right on that play. But, yeah, just that.
Were there any similarities as far as the training between being a quarterback in college and high school and pitching?
Yeah. I mean, I think just, like, overall arm routine, arm care, just, you know, that's how you make your money is your arm, and, you know, preserving that is, you know, what leads to success. But, yeah, I think, you know, like some of the meetings you have as a quarterback and some of the meetings you have as a starting pitcher, you know, you're going over, you know, the lineup as a starting pitcher, quarterback, you're going over the defense of, you know, the tendencies of, you know, what the leadoff hitter wants to do, the tendencies of what they do on first down. You know, it's very different, but it's similar in ways of, you know, just game plans and tendencies.
Very good. Thanks, Bob.
No problem.
Many thanks to Bubba Chandler for joining us and allowing me to ask him some questions ahead of his game against Cincinnati. And I think, you know, I think back to Bubba and as a minor leaguer coming up, where he spoke with me in Bradenton on the day of his first start, which is unheard of. You never really talk to starters on their day off, or on their start day, really, until after the game. And that's always something that stuck with me. Obviously, you know, when you're a young guy, back then he was a two-way player, which is fascinating to think about. And now obviously he's a PO, and that matters too. But I mean, it's so cool to see that, and, you know, to be able to talk to guys like that. And I think that's what makes part of covering prospects and seeing their growth that much more exciting over the course of the years. And obviously Bubba's starting to turn it around here and with some more success for the Pirates. And, you know, this is a team that's kind of scuffling, and, you know, this is a team that, and why they're so frustrating is because they're right there. They're right on the cusp of being a premier team in Major League Baseball. But there's just one thing, one or two things every game that just seem to be holding them back, whether it's a managerial decision, an execution problem with a player, or just a bonehead play, or just not executing at the plate or in the bases or on the field. One thing or another has added to just everything that is going terribly wrong for them. This is a team that is hovering around the 500 mark for the first time. They finished the first half of the season above 500 for the first time since 2015, which obviously is a good thing. But again, you know, there's so many, you know, missed opportunities and meat left on that bone in the first half of the season that has allowed them to be where they're at. You know, this is a team that should have 50 plus wins, and the blown saves have just accrued in an incredible, incredible way. So you hope that things get better with them. Hulk Skeens is scuffling a little bit on the mound. You know, we talk about how elite Skeens is, and he's been so fascinating to watch and so good and elite over the past few years that, you know, a down start is him giving up three runs. So, you know, it's a good problem to have, but he's a guy that I think, you know, is going to turn it around. This is a guy that's an elite pitcher. He's a Cy Young winner, Rookie of the Year winner. He has the potential to continue to be elite. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. I think at times you just try to be a little too perfect, a little too here and there. And I think that's kind of what's nagging him right now. But it'll be fascinating to kind of see how he gets better and how he grows and develops. You know, we think that this is a struggle for him. Obviously, he gave up four runs in a start on Friday night. You know, honestly, probably could have got out of there with only two simply because of a weird call by the home plate umpire allowing a player from Cincinnati to challenge while he was on his way to first base. What would have been a strikeout. They would have got out of the inning, I think, with only allowing two runs there, and he ended up giving up four in that inning, and they fall late in that one. The bullpen has struggled. They got to clean things up there. Wilbur Gotell made a rehab appearance in Altoona over the weekend. And, he's a guy that they need to find his old form and find that success. The margin of error for the Pirates is always razor thin. I don't know whether they're going to be buyers or sellers at the deadline. I don't think they're going to sell, but I don't know that they're going to be in a position to really buy really well as well. So it'll be fascinating to kind of see where they develop and where they go from here. But again, this is a weird way to talk about the Pirates. I think they're right on the cusp of being a great Major League Baseball team. The offense is certainly there. These are historic levels that this offense is seeing. But again, there's just a lot of meat left on that bone for the Pirates. And I think, that's not always a great thing for them moving forward. Obviously, I think a lot of Pirates fans are snake bitten from the fact that those Clint Hurdle collapses that saw the team just bust out of their out of the first half and then that start that second half and just absolutely tank in July after the All-Star break. So I think everybody is very snake bitten as far as that goes, but you're getting some really good productivity out of Brian Reynolds. O'Neill Cruz should be back here pretty soon. Connor Griffin is doing well. Obviously, he comes up, makes an impact immediately with his leadoff home run Friday night. And I think if you're able to, not necessarily get a leadoff home run for Connor Griffin, but if you're able to get some productivity out of the top of the order, you couple that in with Brandon Lau and guys like that. Obviously, the injury to Spencer Horwitz sucks for the Pirates, but you get Ryan O'Hearn at first base every day, and it kind of allows you to be a little bit more flexible with your lineup in certain areas. It'll be interesting to kind of see that. We're getting some more play out of Eddie Rodriguez. He's finally living up to that hype and to that ability that I think everybody has seen in him, but we couldn't see on the field simply because he was never healthy. Obviously, the best ability is availability. So it'll be fascinating to kind of see how that all works, and it'll be interesting to kind of to go from there and figure the way the rest of the way it goes. But next week's going to be the 4th of July. I have a really cool feature that I'm working on talking about Paul Skenes and Derek Berg playing at the Service Academies like I talked about in the first segment. And then it's the All-Star break for the Pirates the following weekend, and it'll be interesting to kind of see how the Pirates go into the break and then out of the break, obviously with the draft involved, but on the field and seeing, who's going to step up and who's going to go into the All-Star break on a tear and how they're going to respond after that. So we'll have much more to come on the rest of the season and including a lot of stuff from the All-Star break itself. I will be at the MLB draft, the Futures game, and the All-Star game for All-Star weekend. And then obviously we got the Curve are out of town here coming up as well. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how both teams and the rest of the organization go into the All-Star break and which rosters are getting moved and shaken with it being now the second half of the season and which teams are in a position to make a postseason run in their respective leagues. But as always, I do thank you again for tuning in to Future Bucko Talk. This has been Jared Prugar, and we'll catch you again next week.